This is Rat Pack Radio, the internet radio station that brings you everything from the top hits in music.
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
To Sports Talk Radio.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California.
We are here for you, WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack. Download the WRP Rat Pack Radio app on Google Play, BlackBerry, and the Apple Store. If you're streaming, you can stream us on TuneIn.com, Web Radio Central, or RatPackSports.com/RatPackRadio.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to...
You're listening to the Rat Pack Sports Show live on Rat Pack Radio, WRPR.
It's new, it's fresh, it's a slam dunk!
The Underground, discovering hidden talent worldwide. Playing daily on Rat Pack Radio, WRPR. Come join the pack.
You're listening to Rat Pack Sports Show on WRPR, Rat Pack Radio.
Blue, you're my boy!
A genius. A man who has a reputation to be the best at what he does.
You see, a man has to realize his limitations. You don't know me, and you don't know what I'm capable of.
That was a heck of an effort.
This house is a prison in the galaxy of this sucks.
Are you free or not?
This battle is over when I say it is over.
I will massacre you.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Are you not entertained?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
That's how I roll.
Offensive foul!
Hello? You play to win the game.
There's a drive! Way back! It might be! It could be!
Yeah! This is my favorite part coming up right now.
Bring you the best there is in sports talk and entertainment live, RatPackSports.com. We are live on the Rat Pack Radio WRPR app. We're live on TuneIn. We are live tonight. Another Wednesday, and we're gonna talk a lot of sports. We got the preseason here coming up as well. I think there is a Thursday night game, if I'm not mistaken. More than likely, I might watch a quarter. Maybe. If I don't find something else on it more, interesting, we will see. But we'll get into that. We'll also, talk a little bit of baseball. We're going to talk a lot of college football and this realignment that is pretty much making the Pac-12 not even irrelevant. They're going to go away here. So we'll get into that as well. And probably around about the 9:30, maybe possibly the 10 o'clock time frame, We'll go live on our feed and do some live video and get some questions and comments and some interaction. So with that being said, I'm going to bring him on in now. Rat Pack Sports Show's Mr. William Graves. What's going on, brother?
Man, you tell me.
A lot going on, man.
Damn. Man, where to start? Where to start? Do you just want to go ahead and dive into it, or do you want to talk a little baseball? Because me and you both know that that's not what we want to talk about.
Let's go ahead and just go ahead and dive in.
Man.
Go ahead. I'll let you start. Right. I'll let you start.
Man, Debo. Never in my wildest dreams did I think that here, not even a year ago, when Oklahoma and Texas said that they were leaving for the SEC, that it was going to start this tidal wave. That's the only way to put this. Debo, we are looking at one of the longest standing conferences in college football becoming obsolete. Man, and now I'm hearing that the ACC and the AAC are now interested in the remaining four teams that are over on the West Coast. Debo, make it make sense for me. Make it make sense.
Well, you know, we've been talking for a pretty long time, brother, about this, realignment of college sports, mainly due to the fact of college football, in a sense. You know, from a basketball standpoint, I don't believe any of these conferences are hurting. But it's because of football that you have all this realignment going on, which we called it a while ago. If you do it too much, this could backfire in your face, because I just don't think it's good for, you know, college football to every year not know who's going to be wearing what conference. And the main thing is you tie in the conferences to who gets the shot at playing for a national championship. And that is ultimately the problem. Like I said, the other sports in college all have a great playoff system in place.
Yes. And Debo, me and you, we have talked about it off the air. We have even mentioned it on the air. The Division I AA in college football, their playoff system,
perfect.
Spot on.
Yeah.
Spot on.
Not too many teams. And I think it started out, it's big now. It's like 32 teams or something like that starting out. And it's a whole playoff. So we know why. Me, William Graves, the Rat Pack, a lot of people that's, you know, got some common sense for the game of college football. We know exactly why they don't want to go to a full-fledged playoff system. And it's just about money. It's just about the conferences that's tied into these bowl games.
Well, but Debo, so here's the thing. So I actually sat down, did a little bit of homework. And in order for college football to go to an even 18-team system, they would have to come up with 11 teams and spread that out. And spread that out to make a even 18-team, 8-conference playoff, because that is the lowest number of conferences that you could adequately have in order to do an actual playoff system. And that's without a first round bye and all this stuff. You would have to go to the 1AA, and you would have to convince 11 of those teams to come to 1A. Here's the thing, Debo. Them colleges, they're not set up for that. So the other thing is, maybe it's not 18 teams, maybe we go 16 teams. Now all of a sudden you have 5 teams that are on the outside looking in. So now one or two things has got to happen. Either A, those 5 teams now have to go to 1AA, or you go to the 1AA and you get 3 teams to come up to Division 1A. Now, are there three teams? Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the only other thing would be to convince colleges that are without a college football program to get into college football. Now, granted, you would need 3 schools to do that. But now you're talking about, well, now how are you going to adequately staff these 3 schools? Are you going to allow some of these players to get out of their commitments and go to these other schools? I mean, how are you going to do that? Because, I mean, college football has, what, 60 players?
More than that. Okay.
So, I mean, 60 players that are suited up for
on game day. Yeah, somewhere around there.
Okay, so now if you're looking at least 180 players, and that's just your starters, that's your people that you're suited up for game day. Is that all you're going to allow them for their first year, and then let the school coaches figure out, okay, well, we got to start recruiting because now we have a brand new football program. This is leading to that. This is going to lead to a major problem in college football because there is. There are solutions, but I mean, Debo, this is going to take a lot of maneuvering by the NCAA to make this fair all the way through. Because I mean, what you're going to have I mean, like, how else are you going to put it? Because you have these big conferences adding these teams. Now, these smaller conferences, like your Conference USAs, your Mid-Atlantic conferences, in order for them to survive, they're going to have to merge. And then, even then, with the merges, that still may not be enough. I mean, Debo, this realignment just took out a Power Five conference. What about these non-Power Five conferences? How are they going to compete?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the problem, man. That we've been kind of on this boat for a long time, just talking about, you know, the realignment and how bad it could be, you know, for the little guys. And at the end of the day, you want a system in place that at least it gives the little guy a chance. Maybe they never win. But at the end of the day, you have a system in place that is designed for every team that's deserving to have a chance.
And absolutely.
The only way to do that is to institute a true playoff system.
Well, and I mean, Debo,
you just use, you know, like the NC, the 1AA, they just use their top 25. And then it's, yeah. I think, six. If it's 32 teams, I think it's the top 25, and then the seven, you know, at large bids. And they go at it's that simple. But, you know, like we've been saying for a long time, it is the bowl system that a lot of these bigger schools, they're tied to the hip with. So if you're a Pac-12 team, what's the major bowl for the Pac-12? It's the Rose Bowl.
Well,
Big
right.
Ten,
Pac-12. This brings up a question. The Pac-12 becomes obsolete as of next year.
Yep.
So, who's going to be tied to the Rose Bowl?
Just the Big Ten, and maybe they'll throw in another, you know, another conference that is tied, you know, at the hip with it. But for 100+ years, man, the Rose Bowl has been Pac-12 versus Big Ten.
So the one way that the Pac-12 could survive, and look, Debo, this is nothing more than me throwing something at the wall to see if it sticks. The remaining four teams move over to the Mountain West Conference.
Mm-hmm.
The Mountain West adopts the Pacific Athletic Conference name. Like, really, truthfully, and honestly, will that happen? No, probably not.
Yeah, more than likely not.
But, I mean, if they wanted to keep a institution like the Pac-12 going, that would be a way to do it. But now you're talking about a lot of legalities. But here's the thing. You have that Pac-12 money that is going to have to go somewhere. If you reach an agreement to call yourselves the Pac-12, well, now you get that Pac-12 money, and you could get that Mountain West money. You might be able to compete then. And if you had a stipulation in there that because you're going to change your conference to the Pac-12, that you automatically get that the Pac-12 still gets that right to the Rose Bowl, hey, that's even more money in the pocket. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Matter of fact, I'm 99% sure it's not. But it would be an intriguing proposal to keep the Pac-12 alive. Would the Pac-12 look the same? No, because you're going to only have four schools that are that would have been from the old Pac-12. And here's the thing. Who's to say that these schools actually want to go through with this?
Well, you got so many schools, you know, right now that's trying to leave, and then other conferences are pretty much, you know, sending out invitations to the remaining teams on joining, and then you got the ACC reaching out to the remaining four Pac-12 schools and throwing them out, throwing invitations out, you know, for them
and,
to join
and
conference.
And you got you also got the AAC.
Yeah.
And the Independent Conference has even reached out to Stanford about joining their conference, which, okay, in all honesty, it as much as I hate to say this, that almost makes sense. Because right now, who is Stanford's biggest rival?
Notre Dame.
There you go. It almost makes sense.
And they can set their own schedule. You know what I'm saying? They're not tied to a conference schedule. So a football program like Stanford that is usually pretty strong and got a good tradition of having good teams you know, you could schedule put a Stanford on your schedule, and that is going to be considered a top matchup. So,
but here's my thing. So, in order for the independent conference to survive, right now they only have four teams. They're going to have to come up with another 14 teams.
Shoot. I don't know, man.
Because here's the thing. What we are looking at is we are looking at this slightly becoming, I guess, a roundabout way what we have been talking about would be a good playoff system. However, we're talking about these conferences coming down from, like, what is there, 10, 11, 12 conferences, all the way down to 8. So somewhere along the line, if Notre Dame wants to stay independent, they're going to have to get that independent conference built up. I'm not saying they can't. I'm saying that is a pretty tall order.
Yeah.
To get 14 teams to now go independent. And at the end of the day, if they have an independent conference, are they really independent? Or is that just the name of the conference? Because now you just created an entire conference.
Yeah.
So what makes the independents independent? I mean, unless they get to keep whatever deals they have in place and everything, like Notre Dame and their TV money. And all that, I mean, I guess in that sense, yeah, they would still be independent.
Yeah.
But, Tebow, that's a pretty tall order. But if they was to go and do it, the one team that they should actually look at trying to get to go independent would be the University of Texas. Because Texas has their own they have their own TV network.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know how that would work, but, I mean, it's out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some options out, you know, some options out there. And, yeah, you really don't.
Well.
What's the word? You really don't. What's the word I'm looking for? You want to say they want to try to say the conference, but I think there's been so much that's not been, you know, done in the beginning to at least, you know, give the conference a chance. And I just feel like you're running after the money, man. You're running after the money, and at the end of the day, you lose tradition, and I think that hurts everybody. I think that hurts everybody when you start getting away from tradition.
Yeah.
And just doing things because, you know, financially it's a good idea. College football is making enough money. They don't need help, you know, making more money. They're already doing enough, financially as it is. So I just think, you know, When is enough enough for everybody? When is enough? And you want to save tradition instead of going the route of, hey, let's go and let's just, you know, make as much money as we possibly can, because that's the name of the game. Where your conference is about to suffer, and you know your conference is about to suffer. One of your historical conferences is about to suffer a death blow, and then you got all these other teams just sitting around here, you know, trying to find a way out of their conferences that they're in, and, you know, doing all in the name of what? Having a chance to win a championship? Well, I mean.
Well, see, and this is my thing. And this is what we have been talking about for so long. That the championship for college football should be settled by a true playoff system. And, man, I'm not talking about this playoff system that they have right now. No. Just, like, it's a good start. But the thing is that we both knew that when they went to a 14 playoff system, that wasn't going to work, because there were still going to be people on the outside looking in. And now they're like, well, we're going to go to a 16 playoff system. Still not going to work.
Yeah, because team number 17, 18, 19, 20, gonna think feel like they were disrespected. So at the end of the day, again, the 1AA has a system in place, it's been in place for a long time. Nobody's never complained.
No.
Just bring
what would they have to complain about?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you bring us a true playoff system, where you have a true champion, and everybody deserving gets a chance to win it all.
Well, and I mean, I mean, Debo, we sat here, and we figured out this playoff thing in about 10 minutes. And listeners, if you want to know what the playoff system is, it's very simple. Every conference out there is split into two divisions, North and South, East and West, don't care. Even number of teams, 8 teams on one side, 9 teams, 6 teams, whatever. It needs to be even. It needs to be even all the way through every conference. The two play for the conference title. Winner of the conference title gets a playoff spot. Folks, this ain't rocket science.
Nope.
I just sat there and told you a formula for the playoff system in not even a minute. And folks, I don't have a degree. Folks, I went to college for about 2 weeks and got bored and left. I do not have a degree whatsoever, but what I do have, that evidently when you get a degree or something like that, for some people, they lose this valuable thing, and it's called common sense.
Yep.
And the NCAA seems to be full of them. Now, in my scenario, would there be some college realignment? Yes, there would. But it would not be like this. Like, folks, you can ask Derek, you can ask Boss Hogg, you can ask Nicholas Lane. I have been on the record, both on air and in the chat room, that the most amount of teams that should be in a conference is probably 16. And honestly, I really do think...
Yeah, I think that's even pushing it a little bit.
I was about to say, I think that might even be a little too much. Honestly, 14 teams. 7 on each side. It's not that hard.
No.
You play everybody in your division, and then you schedule 5 out of five out of conference games. Keep it interesting. It's not hard, people. This ain't hard. It's not. I promise you. Okay. Now, how would the realignments look? I don't know. You would have to give me about 2 to 3 days for me to sit down and figure all of it out. But I would tell you that there would be some conferences that probably would not be around anymore. And you're like, well, so if you're already saying that conferences won't be around, then why are you so mad about the Pac-12 being decimated? It's tradition that Pac-12 has been around for as long as I can remember. Okay. That you want to talk about power conferences, and you just now lost one.
Yep.
Okay.
And I think, you know, a lot of people could say, well, it wasn't that, you know, big of a deal anyway. But it's the Pac-12. I mean, like, at the end
whoa,
of the
whoa,
day.
Hold on. They wasn't that big of a deal.
Well, I mean, the way people are acting, you know, they're acting like.
The people that are acting like that don't know, don't know college football. Because I remember a time when USC was running the gauntlet on college football.
Yeah.
I remember when they won like 30-something games straight.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember when Oregon actually got up there. I remember when Oregon went and played for the national title. I remember that. Now, yeah, they lost to my team, Auburn, but they were still up there. Shoot, they're still competitive. So we really want to talk about this? Okay, so we'll talk. You have other teams that are part of smaller conferences that have five or six teams in the conference. I'm sorry, folks, but that's not a conference. That's a club. Now, am I looking down on those teams? No, I'm not. But those conferences should have been some of the first that went away. Yes, I am talking about the AAC. I'm talking about Conference USA. Shoot. I mean, they both have American in their name merged together. Create a bigger conference. Like I said, in any scenario, some conferences won't survive. But when you take a Power Five conference and it gets completely decimated, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah. You just can't have a conference of that magnitude that just overnight. I mean, this is pretty much like an overnight, you know, one minute you're here, the next minute you're not type of situation that's going on. And
it all started with two of the big crown jewels.
Yeah.
USC and UCLA leaving. And, you know, when they left, I was like, you know what? Okay. Yeah, that's a loss. But you know what? You could probably get two teams to replace them. And then you had Colorado that left. I was like, oh, okay. And then next thing you know, Washington and Oregon left, and the Pac-12 is not making any moves to bring anybody in. And it's like, what are you all doing? Now, do I know for a fact they haven't contacted people? No, I don't. And I can tell you that a lot of the articles that I've read, it's all about the distribution of TV money that is causing these teams to leave, because I guess the Pac-12 was getting like $50 million per team, and the Big Ten gets something like $100 and something million, almost $200 million per team or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, there's a problem there, because you can't tell me that the Big Ten has more exposure than the Pac-12. You can't tell me that.
No, that is 100% impossible. Because you got, you know, historical teams in that Pac-12. That's been in college football a very long time. So,
and if you also think about it, 9 times out of 10 on the East Coast, who is on after 8, 9 o'clock at night on ESPN on the East Coast?
USC.
Thank you.
Oregon.
UCLA,
Stanford.
Some sort of Pac-12 team.
Yeah.
The Pac-12 dominates. I don't want to call it late night, but primetime college football. Because here on the East Coast, unless it's a big night game, which that's usually only rivalry weekend and – you know, I mean, maybe some other special event, but 9 times out of 10 on the East Coast, Florida, FSU, USF, Miami, Georgia, Alabama, Auburn. I can go down the list. But unless they have a primetime game, man, they're done by 7, 8 o'clock at night. And that's even if they have a 4 o'clock game.
Yeah.
So 8 o'clock on, it's all about the Pac-12. So, yeah. No, the numbers that were being thrown out to me, they didn't make sense. Something tells me that the Pac-12 president was greedy as all get out, and he was holding the money for some reason, and it just cost him a conference.
Yeah. Yep, and, you know, it's sad to see, but, you know, this is the state we're in, and I think, you know, at the end of the day, NCAA, they're going to have to sit down and try and figure this thing out because you can't keep having this. All this movement, you know, every offseason is unstable for college, you know, sports, period. You know, whether it's teams jumping from conference to conference, you got, you know, with the portal, player portal, and you know, all that movement going on, and the NIL situation now with, you know, players pretty much, you know, dictating where they go at based on how much they're getting from the NIL and all of that stuff. So,
well, I mean, you know, again, man, it's like what you said. This is nothing more than money grabs. That's what this is. Because it sure is not anything to do with convenience. I mean, yeah, it could be worse for USC or UCLA if they joined like the ACC. I mean, they only joined the Big Ten, which, I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, it's only halfway across the country, not completely across the country. But you now have the ACC looking at teams on the West Coast. No. And that's some harsh geography. You're talking about 25, 26, maybe even 2,700 miles from Stanford or Cal to Miami, Florida, which, if they join the ACC, I mean, you would think that one or two of those teams is going to be in the same division as Miami. So now what are you going to do? You going to fly out there Friday, Thursday night, practice on Friday, play on Saturday, then go back home Sunday? Man, you want to talk about some jet lag? You want to talk about some injuries?
Yeah.
Man, Debo, the geography does not make sense. The only way that geography would make sense is if whoever on the East Coast that they're playing away, they just stay on the East Coast for those four games. But now, you really going to take these students away from their classes and all that? I mean, yeah, I mean, look, they're grown men. They probably have tutors that'll travel with them. But man, dude, you're talking about you're talking about a month away from campus. Like, that, man, Tifo, I'm telling you, that this geography is not working.
No, especially you got teams that's on the complete opposite coast, and they got to travel, all the way over here, road game, get back on the, it's a lot. So, we'll see what comes out of it, but it's going to be one of those situations that we're going to continue to monitor. We're going to continue to talk about it because it really did change the competitive balance to a certain extent with all these teams going to bigger and better conferences.
Right. Well, these moves are not done yet. Like, everything that is happening, it is far from over. I fully expect these type of moves to go through this entire college football season.
No, not this fast. Not this fast. But, William, what time it is? Should we take a break? No. All right, William. I'm going to step out for a quick second. I'll be right back. So just continue on with your conversation.
Okay. Well, folks, I'll just kind of continue on this little tirade or whatever you want to call it about the whole college football thing. Again, what we are witnessing, I never saw the Pac-12 being decimated like this. It's a really sad thing. Now on to other conferences that we haven't discussed yet. It is reported that Florida State wants to leave the ACC, and the buyout for that, from the articles that I have read, $300 million. That's a pretty big chunk of change, but to be completely honest with you. Yeah, it's a big chunk of change. But honestly, I think it's fair. I think it's fair for the ACC to ask Florida State to pay that. I'll be completely honest with you. I think the Pac-12 should be, unless there is something that comes out, which, I mean, there already has been, about these payouts or whatever for this TV money. I think that, you know what, that these Pac-12 teams that are leaving should have to pay the Pac-12 to leave. I mean, unless they're not under a contract. But I can't imagine them not being. But by the same token, the president of the Pac-12, that dude needs to be looked into. And if he is operating on bad faith, like what some articles are suggesting, then yeah, dude needs to be removed. Plain, pure, and simple. I will tell you this, that in all honesty, if I was the Pac-12 president, I would have, and I was operating under bad faith, I would have already resigned, because you are now going to be known as the president that killed the Pac-12. That's not a title that I would want. Now, as far as I know, none of these moves are set in stone. I really honestly don't know exactly how these moves and switching conferences work. I'm going to presume that there's paperwork. But if I was board members of the Pac-12, I think I would be doing what I could to save my conference, because if the Pac-12 ceased to exist, you don't have a job. And if it's your president that is ruining it, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to save my job. I'd throw him out quicker than anything. I really would. Because, like I said, if he's operating under bad faith, he doesn't need to be in charge. But, like I said, this whole thing of the ACC looking to grab these other four teams, that math is not mathing. Because that is a long journey for young men that are trying to get an education, that you're asking them to travel essentially right around 5 to 6,000 miles in a weekend. Folks, you guys have never done that. You don't know what a toll that takes on your body. I did it over a 2.5-3 week span when I flew over to London. And I'll tell you what, flying over there and flying back, you want to talk about some jet lag? Man, your body needs time to adjust. And doing that over a weekend or a long weekend, 4 days, that's not enough time. You're going to start hurting your body. And you know what? Like I said, I don't think, I hope that these university presidents think of the health of these players and these coaches that are going to be the ones doing the traveling. I mean, you might fly out if you're the university president for like a first game in like Florida State or Miami. But let's face it, after that first year, you're not really going to fly out unless it's a big deal. You're still going to be at home. You're forcing these people to make a sacrifice, more of a sacrifice, just so you can get a little more money. And you know what? If you're going to force them to do that, then you know what? Everybody on that team, yes, even the players, should be getting something for it. I said what I said. Now, I have never been completely for players getting paid, but you know what? It's here, and I'll tell you this right now. You start getting these bigger TV contracts and everything like that, these players and these coaches are going to start asking for more money, especially if they're flying clear across the country to play football to put money in your pocket. They're going to want a piece of that pie. So, Stanford, Cal, Washington State, Oregon State, presidents, you all better seriously think about this, because I'll tell you what, that dollar is not everything. It's a lot, but it's not everything. You need to start thinking about putting your players and your football team and their personal health, and not only the football team, this will be all athletics. You need to think about your athletic department and the strain that you're going to start putting on them flying clear across the country in a 4-day span for football, basketball, probably about the same, gymnastics, all that.
Yeah, please, I mean, it's a long, you. It's a lot of flying, and we, you know, the pros could do it. They get paid, they get compensated pretty well for their travels, and that's their job. But for players, I mean, if you again, we're continuing this on the conference realignment due to the Pac-12 dissolving. You got West Coast teams that's in the East Coast. I mean, the AAC and the ACC are both East Coast conferences.
Yes.
So that means every game they play on the road, they got to fly to the East Coast every single game. With what if they got back-to-back weeks or, you know, or something like that? You know, you're going to get a half a week's worth of practice because you're going to spend a day and a half, you know, traveling and doing all that stuff, prepping and getting ready. And then you got to go, you know, jump on the field and compete and try to win a football game.
Yeah, and, you know, and the thing is that if it was only back-to-back weeks, okay, so maybe you stay in Florida for a week and play Miami and FSU. Okay, that's cool. That's fine. But now after those back-to-back weeks, you know, maybe you give them Sunday off to rest and recoup and, you know, and maybe you take a day on Monday morning to fly. You know, hopefully these young men and these young women that are in these athletics get back to their dorms at a decent time where they can try to get a good night's sleep. But let's face it, that jet lag is going to hit you, and then you're going to be expected to be back in class on Monday morning. Man, let me ask you something, Debo. When you was getting over jet lag, how was your brain functioning?
You know, cloudy. Not really.
Okay.
You know,
so
sharp.
Really and honestly, how much of those classes are they going to really be able to intake Monday morning?
Not many. They probably won't even make it. I mean, if it was me, I'm not going.
Right. So, and I mean, so now you, so now they just missed a day of class. Okay. Now, I mean, unless they have an excuse, which I'm sorry, but if you're these West Coast presidents and you decided to win an East Coast thing, man, you had better make it to where they don't get in trouble if they don't show up to class on Monday. Because if they out there performing to make you money and make your university money, man, you better have some sort of stipulation up in there. Like, and I'm not just talking about the athletes. I'm talking about the coaches. I'm talking about the assistant coaches. I'm talking about everybody that is on these athletic teams, not just the participants. Because they all are still making those flights. They are all still doing that. They are all still doing their job. So now you have hundreds, if not almost a couple of thousand, different people through all these sports things that now you're affecting their education. So now what is that going to say for your graduation rate? Because, I mean, yeah, we all love the sports, but isn't the main thing going to college to get an education?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, at the end of the day, as you said, they gotta look out for, you know, these players and stop, you know, chasing the mighty dollar. There's enough money to go around for everybody to be, you know, to be happy and, you know, eat pretty good. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but it's not looking good. It's not looking good. And you go back, you know, download this show and just bookmark it, because I guarantee you something we're saying now is probably going to come to fruition here in you know, a little bit. So with that, we're going to take a quick break because we're at the top of the hour here. So we're going to take a quick break and come back on the outside. And hello, jeez. All right. So we're gonna change the pace up here a little bit. So, let's see what we got. So. We'll be back here after this break. You're live. This is Rat Pack Sports Show live. Rat Pack Radio, WRPR. Streaming online, ratpacksports.com. Ha ha. We'll be back.
Slay Drama King in the building. Name of this shit right here is called Like This.
Yeah.
Shouts to Billboard Talent.
This is for you.
Jay Dilla beat, make me wanna hit repeat every time I hear him speak. Messing up the entropy whenever he is next to me. I